evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, August 5th, 2019. South Sudanese leaders sign a constitution declaration document to pave the way for a power-sharing deal.
The Sovereign Council will be appointed by the head of the Military Council. And immediately after the appointment, the TMC will be dissolved, and then the Prime Minister will be named.
And scholars in South Sudan discuss the prospects for peace. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed will be the guest of honor at the official signing ceremony of the Sudan Peace Power-Sharing Deal. Sudanese officials have set August 17 as a tentative date for the signing ceremony in Khartoum, followed by the formation of the Sovereign Council to appoint a Prime Minister. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Babikir Faisal, a member of the Forces for Freedom and Change Coalition, says the two sides have invited leaders from the region to witness the signing ceremony, including South Sudan's President Salva Kiir.
The Prime Minister of Ethiopia has going to be high delegations from neighboring countries, from South Sudan, Egypt, and also from the Gulf countries, besides the European Union, Turkey, and officials from the United Nations and the African Union.
Faisal says the constitution document that was signed over the weekend stipulates the roles and responsibilities of all government structures and defines the powers of the Sovereign Council, Council of Ministers, and the Legislative Assembly. He says the document has provisions on the rights of women and children, and it restructures government institutions, the civil service, and the Sudanese army. Faisal says the Sovereign Council, which will be the executive body during the transitional period, is to be formed on August 18. A prime minister will be named on August 21st, and then that person will form a cabinet of 20 ministers by August 28. He says the transitional period is expected to begin by September 1st.
The Sovereign Council will be appointed by the head of the Military Council. And immediately after the appointment, the TMC will be dissolved, and then the Prime Minister will be named, and he will take oath before the Sovereign Council.
Faisal says, under the deal, a legislative council shall be formed within the first 3 months of the transitional period, with 67% of its members appointed by the Forces for Freedom and Change Coalition. The remaining seats in the legislative council will go to the armed opposition and political forces who have not signed the Declaration for Freedom and Change. He says, under the agreement, the Rapid Support Forces, or RSF, commanded by the deputy head of Transitional Military Council, General Mohamed Hamdan Himeti, and the National Intelligence Service, or NIS, will be under the command of the Sudan Armed Forces.
This is a position that the previous regime, Omar al-Bashir, has cancelled it, and it was there before the 1989 coup. Sudanese army has always been led by the general commander. And now we are going to introduce it again, and the RSF will be under his responsibility.
Faisal praised all the countries that supported the peaceful transfer of power in Sudan. He says more obstacles await the parties during the implementation of the agreement.
We have so many issues and challenges during this transitional period, particularly the issues of the economy, peace, and freedoms, and we will greatly need the support of the organizations and our friends in the international community.
The coming transitional period is expected to last for 39 months, with 6 months dedicated to achieving lasting peace with all arms groups in the country, including the SPLM North in Nuba Mountains. For VOA News, I am Michael Atid in Khartoum.
Some South Sudanese scholars in Juba say the parties to the South Sudan Revitalized Peace Agreement are wasting time studying the agreement. Peter Adwok Nyaba says the attitude of the leaders who signed the peace deal has not changed, adding that there is little hope for the implementation of the peace agreement. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
Scholars gathered today at the University of Juba to witness the launch of a new book entitled Peace of South Sudan and Revitalization, authored by a political science James Okuk. The book summarizes the revitalized peace agreement, South Sudan's diplomatic relations with Sudan, and suggests that federalism can solve some of the problems of South Sudan. Okuk argues in his book that South Sudanese leaders should focus on implementing the current revitalized peace deal.
It's almost the only option for South Sudan. I don't believe in another option, I mean it. And I can argue why do I say that. And that is why, even today, if you follow, people will say, yes, we don't want to implement it, but they will not say we are throwing it away. Why? Because even if you put them to negotiate on the table, they will come up with the same thing they are rejecting.
Okuki stresses South Sudan's warring parties should implement the deal rather than seeking any other alternative for lasting peace in the country. Professor Peter Adwok Nyaba, a former minister who now heads a Juba-based think tank called Ladjor Institute, says the revitalized peace agreement is just a recipe of another problem in South Sudan. Adwok says history will repeat itself in South Sudan.
What happened in July 2015? May return. Because if the attitudes have not changed, what will prevent this thing from returning? Some opposition groups do not subscribe to a revitalized agreement. It could only mean one thing, that the continuation of war in some parts of the country. Because you have Thomas Cirilo, Malong, Naz Oyai, they are not part of this agreement. And we know that there's fighting going on here, although this is not, it is not present in the press. But people are dying, continuing to die. This tells me that there is something fundamentally wrong. Not only with the agreement, but with the basis and modality of mediation.
Adwok says the revitalized peace focuses so much on powers sharing rather than addressing the issues that led to the conflict.
If you are talking about power sharing, and power which is not institutionalized, it's power which is personalized, then it is not easy. You are not going to get any way out of this. And that is why I believe now that it can recur again. Because you are imposing somebody. So honestly, I want to say that the revitalized agreement is faulty, it's not going to work. Something needs to happen.
Jacob Dood Chol, a professor of political science at the University of Juba, says Okuk's book did not make many clarifications on areas of federalism and democracy.
Dr. James appreciated that it's important for the government of South Sudan and the revitalized Tigono to promote the idea of federalism. But then, when we talk about federalism, what type of federalism do you want to promote? Look at Ethiopia. Ethiopia had ethnic federalism. Where are they today? So does federalism promote diversity or does federalism destroy diversity?
Professor Francis Madding says South Sudan and Sudan should stop supporting militias in each other's countries. He says the two countries depend on each other.
There is a need for an African strategy in the Sudan. And that strategy can best come from South Sudan. To help Sudan to find its solutions in the marginalized areas, and to adjust the identity of the Sudan, not to be anti-Arab.
Rajab Muhandis, Executive Director for the Juba-based Responsive Governance Organization, says the parties to the agreement should work hard to gain public confidence.
In my view, the implementation is actually a test of commitment of the parties. Not more of a challenge, but a test of their commitment and willingness to deliver peace in our country.
Professor Adwok says he remains doubtful about President Salva Kiir's and Riek Machar's willingness to work together. Dimo Silva Aurelio, VOA News, Juba.
Still in Juba, South Sudanese civil society activists are bickering over leadership position in South Sudan. An umbrella group calling itself South Sudan Civil Society Consortium pulled out of the South Sudan Civil Society Forum over the weekend. The chairman of the South Sudan Civil Society Consortium, Biel Botrus, says some leaders within the civil society have lost the vision for activism. He says there is a need to reorganize activists in South Sudan.
And our secretariat released a press statement making a full withdrawal from the membership of the South Sudan Civil Society Forum. That's what I know.
Yeah.
I am not aware of any task force
having
said that statement.
Yeah, it could be my mistake, but I'm talking about that statement issued by your secretariat. It's causing a lot of storm. Why did you withdraw from the consortium?
From the Civil Society Forum.
Yeah, why did you withdraw from the South Sudan Civil Society Forum?
Let me give you a bit of background. The South Sudan Civil Society Forum was formed in 2017 in December in Entebbe. And the South Sudan Civil Society Consortium was formed on June 20, 2017. It was the civil society who invited us to join them. We comprise ourselves with civil society based in Juba, based in Daifa, based in other parts of South Sudan. And when we formed the consortium, our colleagues invited us to join them to form a forum. And in December 2017, we formed the civil society forum. But all along, we have been trying that we have to have a structure. We have to have leadership that is to make things transparently and accountable to the members. That has failed. We tried from the inception up to last month. Things were not working well.
Why? Why are you not able to put your house in order? I mean, you are a watchdog. You are supposed to watch the government and hold them accountable.
Exactly,
why are you not putting your house in order?
We are watchdog. We wanted to put the house in order, but when we push for it, it was not working. It was not working. Whenever we meet in Addis, we meet in Nairobi, we meet in Kampala, we make resolutions. And those resolutions, when our colleagues, before we came to Juba, when they reached Juba, they did not implement those resolutions. And we pushed without a structure for long. Until you would remember in March 2019, we in the consortium joined with over 170 leaders of the civil society in Juba, and we held a press conference that was led by South Sudan Law Society and another group like Sunde and other coalitions. So we and the same points that we raised at the press release at the weekend were part of the press conference that was held by Law Society and other coalition plus our consortium in March 2017. Recently, we tried to go to Kampala to put things in order, but the manner in which the meeting was held was so intimidating and was managed in a chaotic way. And we in the consortium who have been pushing for structure, we see that it looks like some of our colleagues are regarding us as if we are joining just for accommodating purposes. No, we thought.
But you are behaving. You in the civil society. You in the civil society are behaving like politicians. You are supposed to be neutral. I read the complaints that you people raised in your group. You were accusing people from another region taking over the civil society as watchdog. You are supposed to be neutral. You are supposed to fight for the common good. Looks like it's a leadership wrangle.
And that's actually what we've been trying to advise our colleagues, that it's not a question of being neutral, it's a question of being impartial. Because there are no human being who can be neutral. We can be impartial.
But
as a watchdog,
you are supposed to stay off politics. Your job is to hold the government accountable, but it looks like you're practicing politics in the civil society.
The statement that we have released has nothing to do with politics. It has something to do with diversity, equality, justice, and embracing one another as top your new civil society, who should speak with one voice and with concern for the ordinary citizens. That is our concern. So there's nothing to do with politics. Those who would like to continue with the confusion with the civil society, they turn it to be, it looks like politics. Those who are pushing for reforms, they look like political agents and so on.
Yeah, but
so I saw some comments. Comment from them, like the way you are talking now, some of these, they are comments from them.
Let's set records straight.
I was the one who made the conference alone, the seminar alone.
Let's set records straight here. You're saying that some of them are
behaving
like politicians, but you yourself, you were in the civil society and you went into politics and came back. Is that correct?
I am very honest. In the year 2015, I worked in the Constitutional Amendment Committee as a member. And I was appointed by the opposition to help them. When I was there, it was very clear to everybody that I was working there. And even some of these people, civil society, who are making confusion, they came to me as a person who is not a civil society. I spoke to them clearly, give them the updates as a kind of person who is working with reform, for reform within. So when I left, when my task was over, I decided to go back to the civil society and to the organization I work with.
It appears like the unity of the civil society is one of the prerequisites for you to hold the government accountable. You cannot be in a divided camp and call yourself civil society.
Exactly, you cannot be a divided camp, but when you push with the people who have different interests, when you push with them and they cannot allow reform to be, they reduce the civil society into positions. Civil society is supposed to speak with unified voice for the citizen. But if they reduce to position and to the ways of looking for funding, not the voices of the people, we say, no, guys, you can remain with the civil society forum, and we have to fall back. And we fall back.
That's Biel Botrus, chairman of the South Sudan Civil Society Consortium. He was speaking with me this past hour from Juba. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, UN peacekeepers train girls in Malakal. Find out why when we come back after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
who gives you the best advice?
My mom. She gives me the best advice because I could see that from childhood to now, whatever she had advised me to do has made me a successful person.
My best friend, most of the times. Yeah, my best friend. Because I think she's the one I'm more open to. I tell her most of my things going on in my life.
Yeah, my mom. I always miss seeing my mom because she's always closer to me. And anytime she sees anything about me, even I don't tell her, she knows. She feels emotional for me. And I think she's the best person who can give me advice.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011 and we'll get back to you. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. UN peacekeepers have been organizing dozens of self-defense classes to help girls in South Sudan protect themselves during conflict. Human rights experts say sexual violence is still a huge problem in South Sudan, even after the signing of a peace agreement in September 2018. In part one of our two-part series about South Sudanese girls and self-defense, Carol Van Dam looks at the aim of the classes.
Advisor Tara Sadasivan says South Sudanese girls who have been sexually assaulted rarely file complaints with the police.
The issue is there is a lot of underreporting on these cases, and our work has been focused on ensuring that everyone, the entire community, is sensitized on the topic. Response by authorities.
She says the trainers and advisors want to empower girls by teaching them about sexual violence and learn some skills that will improve their self-confidence, self-esteem, and their quality of life. Sadasivan says it's good to teach everyone in the community, men, women, and children, about sexual violence. She says it's also important to teach girls strategies to help them avoid sexual-related attacks.
We actually, since 2017, we have been using creative methods to improve, you know, from classrooms to settings where especially survivors, women and girls are comfortable, to their comfortable zone.
Girls and women in South Sudan are usually not taught self-defense techniques, but they find themselves in risky situations during house chores to fetch water and firewood, often traveling long distances. Sadasivan says that is how most girls fall prey to perpetrators outside their camps or communities.
During our work, we realized that many of them could not even run away or escape from a situation and save themselves because of the lack of confidence, because of the fear. So that actually was an issue.
Sadasivan says United Nations peacekeepers picked an important day to hold an event in Malakal town in which about 24 girls between the ages of 18 and 25 demonstrated to other local women and girls what they learned.
On the International Day on Elimination of Sexual Violence Conflict, which was on the 19th of June, we had a large event in Malakal town, where we invited women and girls from Malakal town and POC, and we showcased what these young girls had learned.
Sadasivan says women and girls have begun to enjoy the training, which has empowered them. Participants of the initiatives are sharing their experiences with others, including the governor of Upper Nile State. We'll have more on that conversation in tomorrow's show. Carol Van Dam for VOA News, Washington.
A judge at Jonglei High Court has ruled against a government order to evict thousands of families from Haisalam and Naivasha suburbs of Bor Town. The affected family says the court ruling sends a strong message that no one is above the law. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Bor.
Residents of Haisalam and Naivasha suburbs of Bor Town sued the government in 2017 after the Jonglei State Ministry of Physical Infrastructure ordered the families to vacate the two areas so that government officials can obtain plots in the two areas. Last week, the court ruled in favor of residents. Judge John Yel Aleu is president of the Jonglei State High Court. Speaking in his native Dinka language after the court session, Aleu said the Jonglei State government has no right to evict the residents of Haisalam and Naivasha from their plots.
Our resident in the area,
they are the resident of the area and they have stayed in the area since 1992. And some others were residing in the area even before 1973. During the war crisis, they have been escaping for refuge and returning to the same areas. After they presented their documents and after hearing from the officials from Ministry of Physical Infrastructure, we decided that residents should be given their plot of land on which they are residing now.
Residents of the suburbs threw a party to celebrate their victory. Speaking in Dinka, Lual Kwol, one of the representatives of Haisalam and Hainaivasha, says the court decision means a lot to the residents.
This shows that the judiciary is doing its work. It shows us the truth really exists. When we got involved in this case, we had very little hope. We knew how South Sudan operates these days. But now we have learned that the judiciary is doing its work, especially the judge Yel Aleu.
Bol Kwer is another representative of the families. Speaking in Dinka, Kwer says the ruling is a rare case in South Sudan's judiciary.
The court is a place where people, both the strong and the weak, get their rights. So this ruling teaches us and the people of Bor that if there are people who are in dispute, they should follow it up, as residents of Naivasha and Haisalam have done.
Officials who represented the Jonglei State Physical Infrastructure Ministry say they are disappointed with the ruling. Elijah Mabior Bol, the Director General at the Jonglei State Physical Infrastructure Ministry, says it is too early for his office to comment on the court decision.
Up to now, I have not received the copy of the verdict. I cannot comment without going through the copy of the verdict. It is, has now been just sent to the Deputy Governor. When I receive it, I will study it, and then this is where my comment will go out.
Mabior says his ministry will appeal against the ruling in the near future. For VOA News, I am Manyang David Mayar in Bor.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011 and we'll get back to you. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
And we'd like to know your feedback on this program. Tell us what you like and tell us what you don't like. The number is +1 202 630 8011. That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with Isaka number one, singing about peace.
Esa mantelina pulugeni fowata wa wono sobera. Esa mantelina rija fakiri kan mushkila de bada minuel. Esa mantelina manesitu nina lisa akwana. Esa mantelina kulo arufu nina yaljuno. Ashani yandikore agato mondina gis. So one dikore, rujato mondi kalaso. Abo had dikore, iyato mondi waduro. Jidaza tu bikore, gelbato obi waja. Shuno, mina lisa vishakilu badontana. Ashan mono, mina lisa viferigu badontana. Kalam shuno, mina lisa bilag badunu fustana. Kalam mono, mina lisa visulumu badontana. Kelina rija geni fuwata, wawonu soberaze akwana. Elina rija geni fowata, owonu su kalaman salam. Elina rija geni fowata, wa afi baduntana. Elina rija geni fowata, wajibu salam. Generation is diminishing, generation is diminishing, for no reason. Population is decreasing, population is decreasing, for no reason.
We've been listening to Isaka number one with his song about peace. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Like a stranger in my own country, there is no reason for me to run away and leave my own country. There is no reason for me to fight my own brother.
We are blessed.
With the heritage,
we are blessed. I say we are blessed.
With the culture,
we are blessed.
Missing say we are blessed.